Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Sri Srimadesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The hair on Nrisimhadeva's head shook the clouds and scattered them here and there. His glaring eyes stole the effulgence of the luminaries in the sky. His breathing agitated the seas and oceans. Because of his roaring, all the elephants in the world began to cry in fear. Purport. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, verse 41, Yad Yad Vimurivat Mat Sattvam Srimad Urjitam Eva Va Tad Tad Eva Vigachatvam Mamatejo Amsa Sambhavam. Quote, know that all beautiful, glorious, and mighty creation spring from but a spark of my splendor. End quote. The illumination of the planets and stars in the sky is but a partial manifestation of the Lord's effulgence. There are many wonderful qualities of different living entities, but whatever extraordinary things exist are but part of the Lord's tejas, His illumination of brilliance. The deep waves of the seas and oceans and the many other wonders within the creation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead all become insignificant when the Lord, in His special feature, incarnates within this material world. Everything is insignificant in comparison to the personal, all-defeating transcendental qualities. Vrindavane Ramanareti Prasiddhibhumo Tatrapi Krishna Balarama Supadu Mule Jnanam Param Paramai Krishna Sudharma Chuktam Dandastudeva Prabhupada Namo Namaste Samsara Dukkha Jalado Patitasya Kama Krod Adi Nakramakoroi Kavali Kritasya Duravashana Nigaditasya Nirashrayasya Chaitanya Chandramamadehe Padavalambam Jaladara Shashivarno Gopavesha Kishoro Sahachara Gana Vrindai Kridamana Vrjesho Natabara Jitavesho Nilapitamparadyo Jagadachana Nahito Ramakrishna Nato Asmi Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sandubhavacha Puritanang Pavanebhyo Vishnavebhyo Namo Nama Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the shloka is glorifying the prabhava, the tejas, the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, His influence. And because of that, therefore Prabhupada quotes from Vibhutim Yoga, from the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the last shloka, that don't be surprised by it. It's anything that is interesting in the material world is a manifestation of Krishna's power. So whenever I think of this, like during the Nrisimha Chaturdashi a few days ago, the thing that came to mind was Pattachitta, an Oriya Pattachitta painting that I saw in a devotee's house, about 60 years old, black and white. In it, it shows Dauji, from whom all the avatars have manifested, and he has his plowshare and his mushal in hand. And on his lap is Nrisimhadeva, with fire all around him. On whose lap is Lakshmi Devi, his Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune. And when I looked at that picture, I was thinking, amazing, you know? Basically, the glories of the Supreme Lord are shiny and powerful, and His compassion is amazing. And He gives shelter to His devotees and protection in most amazing ways, irregardless of what form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead you like. And the devotee says, "This is my Lord," and you approach Him. Narottam Thakur Mahasai says in Prema Bhakti Chandrika that Ashray Loye Bhaje, if you approach the Lord to worship Him, Krishna Tari Nyahi Chaje, Krishna will never give you up, and Ara Sabamara Wakaran, and everybody else dies uselessly in this world. So, that is actually the fact. Irregardless of who you approach and serve of the Personality of Godhead, your heart is attracted to. That Lord will never give you up. That Lord will always take care of you. And that is the most sweet thing about devotional life. that Krishna has room for each and every one of us. Individually, we're very insignificant part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Take birth somewhere, go somewhere, do something, live, exist, dwindle, and leave. You know, that's all of us. But Krishna is so kind. He's helping every one of his vipinamshas. I'll never forget it. It was such a striking thing. I was coming home from the temple in 1973. It was a Purnima, full moon night, I remember. Walking home from the bus stop, having been with the devotees for the evening, walking home to my father's house, I was crossing the railroad tracks, looking at the full moon and thinking, Prabhupada's statement that he mentioned, I found out to be March 25th of 1971 in a Bhagavad Gita class in Bombay. He said, if you take one step toward Krishna, he'll take 10 steps towards you. And I remember thinking, that was such, we were bantering it about in the temple, and it was such an inspirational statement that gave strength and resolve to anything we did. And it was like astounding. What? This is astonishing. He's going to take 10 steps to a jerk like me, an ordinary human being, ordinary foolish child. How quaint, how charming, how pacifying, how comforting. Every one of us is insignificant, and yet Krishna loves each and every one of us. And that is amazing. He is the friend of all living entities, Sarita Sarvabhutanam. And that is amazing. He actually does it. Recently, I spaced something out. I was leaving one temple and going away, and I spaced something out. And it was a significant thing that I spaced out. So I'm at the airport, and the deities come in the heart, and they said, you forgot this. Oh, thanks a lot. And I looked at my watch. It was time. It was enough time. So I turned around. We would turn around, went back to the temple, 15 minutes, got the thing, and came back. So I reached the airport a half an hour later than I wanted to. But it was no problem. I caught my flight. Look at the friend. He's a friend of every living entity. He'll tell you in your heart, you forgot this. He'll help you out no matter what. They're the best of all your friends that you keep. And it's so comforting. So we were, and Nrisimha Chaturdashi, we were describing some of his pastimes. There's a story in Mayapur that one of the congregational members of the Nrisimhadev deity there prayed to the Lord, please help my grandfather, you know, in the hospital, dying of some terminal disease. So he's slowly dwindling down, and he says, I see a half man, half lion manifestation. So the granddaughter is next to her mother in the hospital, and she says, Mommy, it's Nrisimhadev. And so hearing the Lord's name, the grandfather says, ah, this apparition in my mind is shaking his head. And he's saying, yes, I am Nrisimhadev. I've come. And he wants me to chant this mantra that you're chanting. What is that? So they taught him to chant Hare Krishna Rama, three names of the Maha Mantra. So he was chanting with them and left. You know, after about an hour or something, he left his body then. So compassionate. Another story is that one devotee, I think a Russian devotee, some in Mayapur, they are having some keratinitis, some problem with their eyes. So they're praying, Nrisimhadev, could you help me with my eyes? And the Lord said, you give me back my eyes, and I'll give you back yours. So it turns out that some life member, some devotee had donated the deity some eyes. Jnanivas and Pankajangri had changed the Lord's eyes. But evidently the deity didn't like it, you know. He wanted the other ones back. So then this devotee went to the Pujaris and told them this story. They thought about it. Later on, they changed the deity's eyes back. And as soon as they did that, then the lady's eyes became okay. There are many interesting stories how Krishna intervenes sometimes personally to help a devotee. Whatever we may think of this world, of the universe, and in comparison to us, it's very, very interesting. It's very powerful. It's very impressive. But it's nothing. In comparison to the Supreme Personality of God, it's absolutely nothing. It's described that Brahma, the architect of the universe, he has some teja, he has some power. And he tried to steal away the coward boys and the cows to test this little Gopal. And ordinary Gopal would not be able to match that. But Krishna just simply manifested himself as all the cows and all the boys and went on his pastimes playing, thinking that the cows will be aggrieved if they don't see their calves, and the mothers will be aggrieved if they don't see their sons. And for the satisfaction and the pleasure of Vrindavan, he did that. And he just went about his pastimes like normal. And Pravishad Gita Kirti is described in the Bhagavatam that the boys would play with Krishna, and when they would come home, they would tell their mothers, Krishna did this today. Prabhupada says it in the tape. Krishna is so wonderful, he did this today, as if he does it every day, you know, like that. And, but although that is a natural characteristic of the boys, when Krishna manifested those boys and those calves, for 1 year, they were quiet. They didn't glorify. Like that. And Dauji saw that there was extraordinary affection between the cows of Vrindavan and their elderly calves that are grown up now. They don't need the protection of their mother, the milk of their mother, and they're eating grass. And these boys, the young boys of Vrindavan, and yet there was an extraordinary affection, just as much as they had for Krishna. So then Dauji thought, this must be all expansions of Krishna, that's all. And when he asked his brother, then Krishna agreed. Yeah. Dauji found out about it 1 year on. It was an extraordinary aspect of it, of the manifestation. Krishna just let the peace of Vrindavan should go on. Raghunath Das, in his Dasikam, he says, Vrajanaru pasupakshi vrata soke kadata. You have manifested yourself for the happiness of the animals, human beings, birds of Vrindavan. Aganita kuranatvana mamori kritya tantum. Therefore, you should be merciful to unhappy me and give me association by you. I like it. I like the intelligence. Intelligence is good. Another example of that is Narottam Thakur Mahasaya's glorification of Gauranga in the bhajan. He says, Yaridaya na karibe patita dekhiya patita pavana nama kishara lagiya. If you're not going to be merciful to me, considering that I am fallen, then how did you get the name that you're the deliverer of the fallen? Another bhajan, Narottam Thakur Mahasaya, says, if you'll deliver this Narottam, then you'll really become famous. You know, typical. You know, intelligence, you know, it's like for these cubbies to write like that is like they're like imploring the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be merciful to them. Like that. And it's very, very sweet poetry. It's very sweet poetry. It's a very nice thing to ask. It's a very nice thing to ask. So, with those that like a particular form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you'll find shlokas like this one about this Prabhava. His Adibhuta Prabhava is astounding power that is significant and impressive. So basically, shlokas like this one are basically to impress the devotees of that particular manifestation. And everyone, whether it is Lord Gaura, whether it is Nittai, whether it is Radha and Krishna, you'll find it. Ramchandra, you'll find shlokas just like this about their Adibhuta Prabhava, their astonishing power. This gives shelter and encouragement to so many devotees who worship them. Yeah, I'm on the right track. Yeah, all I have to do is just love this Lord and he'll take care of everything, you know. And you think of him constantly and you chant their names and they come running on their names. And anything you lack, he promises that, Tesham Nityabhayuktanam Yogakshemam Bahamyaham, that I'll provide what they lack and preserve what they have. And he actually does it. That is the most astounding thing. Whatever he promises in Gita, Bhagavatam, Shastra, whatever is promised, he'll do exactly that. No less. And it is very impressive. So you get it very impressed. The Supreme Lord is very friendly. He loves his devotee and he's very kind. His compassion is there and he's close. He's manifest anytime you remember him. And very personal also. As a very, very helpful assistant, friend. And yet, he remains the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And his Prabhava is astonishing and amazing. It is actually astonishing that the vibhuti, the opulence of the Lord, but it is nothing compared to the sweetness of the Lord. Just like in Braj, Krishna's Prabhava is there, but it's nothing compared to the sweetness. His sweetness is much better. So it's like sometimes Krishna has to do something. He has to show his Prabhava. Like when he drank the forest fire to protect the coward boys from the forest fire. Like that. And the boys, they woke up. One place, the boys were, Dinabandhu told me that it was actually 35 kilometers. The forest fire was one place. And to protect his devotees and cows, Krishna moved them 35 kilometers to another place. Not only he drank the whole forest fire, but he moved them away from the forest fire 35 kilometers. So when the boys opened up their eyes, they noticed, we're back at the Bandir tree, Bandirvan, 35 kilometers away. So they said, our Sakka, our friend, he must be some demigod, but we're with him. We must be demigods too. They became proud. Vishwanath said that Krishna's amazing. He must be some demigod or somebody powerful. But that's all right. We're with him, so we must be too. It was interesting about this Ekajatiya. We're from the same family, you know, like that. We don't have... And Krishna just loves them. He loves all of his Vrajavasis. He loves all of his friends. And that love is the most astounding thing. His sweetness is more astounding. His sweetness is so astounding. And he's there for each and every devotee. And that is the most astonishing thing, you know. In every pastime, it's most astonishing and most pleasing that Krishna's there for them. Just like the famous painting is there in Rasa Leela, where Krishna's dancing by each and every girl. And she says, she thinks, oh, I must be one of the most fortunate girls in the universe, like that. She doesn't look left. She doesn't look right. She's just looking at Krishna. And the same thing happens with the Coward Boys. They're eating lunch and they open up their tiffin and they say, Krishna, my mother made this wonderful thing. You should have it. And Krishna thinks, really? Is that true? And he reaches his hand to accept that item from the tiffin. And the boy becomes so captivated. He didn't look left, he didn't look right, and he thinks, ah, my mother will be so happy when I tell her, like this. And he doesn't know. The next boy right next to him goes, Krishna, my mother made this wonderful thing. You should have it. Really? Is that true? And he reaches in to accept that item. And he doesn't look left, and he didn't look right. Huh, I'm so lucky. Krishna's in front of me. My mother will be so happy when she hears it, you know. In this way, Krishna expands himself to be by each and every boy at the time of lunch to reciprocate their love. It's neat. Another neat expansion pastime is mentioned in Vishnu Puran that Krishna went ahead to see the beauty of the forest. And then the boys were in competition. Look, I'm going to go touch Krishna first. No, you cannot go. I'm going to go. No, you cannot go. I'm going to go. So they're running. They're running to teach Krishna, and they're not looking left and right. I'm going to touch him first. So Vishnu Purana described that to facilitate this, Krishna expanded himself into 10 forms to facilitate his devotees to touch him. But the other boys didn't know what he did. So when they reached him, then they said, tell us, which one of us has touched you first? And Krishna's a pukka diplomat. He just said, it doesn't matter which one of you would touch me first because you're all come to be with me. And they went, oh. Krishna the pukka diplomat, you know. I'm not going to make any one of my friends better than anybody else. We're all together. You know, we're all friends and we're all together. And everyone should be encouraged. You know, it's such a sweet thing. So this is all about the Lord's Prabhava. And therefore, Prabhupada quotes that shloka. Yad yad vimurivat satvam tatere mama tejo amza sambhavam. Anything you see is simply a spark of my splendor in the universe. So these shlokas also about the Prabhava of the Lord. Remind him whenever you see something in the material world. Here it mentions that the elephants cried out. So whenever you see something powerful in the material world, then it reminds you of the Supreme Lord. When you hear an elephant cry in the zoo or something, you go, ah, but that's nothing compared to what they did when the Sringadev came, you know, or something like, you know, it becomes a Udipana. It becomes something that reminds you of Krishna. Reminds you of Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has a song like that, that he says that the peacock feather, the conch shell, the moon, these things remind me of my Lord, and therefore they're very dear. You know? These things are Udipanas. These things that remind you of the Supreme Lord. And so that's what these verses describe, different aspects of that. And of his prabhava, his power, and understanding that, it becomes like an udipana. In the mind of the devotee, it enlivens him. And in every relationship the devotee seeks with the Supreme Lord, the Lord will do these things to each and every devotee to remind him of his special quality in that relationship. And it endears the heart so much. Like it was described when Krishna and Balaram and the boys were five years old, and they walk into the mouth of a Agastya. And the boys are thinking, yeah, it must be a big python. Sure. And he's coming to swallow all of us up. Boom, he can't do anything. Our Sakha, our friend Krishna, is there. What are we going to have a problem? So Krishna's mind, intelligence, heart, and mood personified. Sridham, Sudham, Vasudham, Kinkani. And they all walk into the mouth of the snake. And Krishna goes, Sridham, Sudham, Vasudham, Kinkani, oh brother, oh brother. And he starts to cry. Oh. And he's lamenting, why did I go to the forest without my brother Balarama? It was Balarama Purnima. It was Balarama's appearance day. He stayed back to give cows and charity to the Brahmins. And he asked, my mother Rohini is keeping me back. So Krishna, you please, my function that I would do today, you please do it. He ordered him to blow the horn to change the scene. Whenever the chain has to be changed, Balaram would blow his horn. Krishna blows his flute and it melts everybody. Everybody forgets. But Dauji is Kamapala. He's a protector of transcendental desire. And so when he blows his horn, everybody wakes up. Whoa, I got to do this. What's my duty? What's my dharma? I have to do this, you know. Wake up, get to work, you know. That's what Balarama does. So Balarama told Krishna that I have to stay back, so you please do everything for us today. So Krishna did it. So Krishna was lamenting, because Balarama acts as his advisor in his pastimes. Sometimes, like it's described, that Krishna would become so absorbed in his pastimes playing. It was described when Mother Yasoda would ask Rohini to go call the boys, because Nanda Baba is waiting at home, and he's not going to eat his lunch until he sees his sons. So he's not going to do anything. Oh, so Rohini went. And the boys said, look, our play has not even reached the zenith, the top of our play. So if you're going to go away, then we won't play with you from tomorrow. And so Krishna became concerned by that. So he acted as if Rohini wasn't speaking. They ignored her. Then she was defeated by that. I couldn't do anything. So she came back and told Yasoda that I was unsuccessful. I was unable to bring them back. So she went personally. And she said that all of your friends have taken bath and they're dressed nicely and you should also do the same. And Nanda Baba is waiting at home and he's not going to eat without you. And please come. And when she said it with such strong vatsalya prema, that Dauji went and grabbed Krishna and said, we must go. That Mother Yasoda's love is so powerful that it captures Balarama's heart even much more than his own mother Rohini, as described. And she asked Krishna, please come. Please suck my breast. Please come. And come home. And it says in the Hari Bhakti Kalpalatika, Yasodaya Paya Tribhuvanamai Ayam Bhagya Mahima. May the glory of Mother Yasoda's breast milk purify the three worlds. The glory is like, so it's literally astounding stuff. Jai Nath. Jai Radha Gokulananda. Jai Gornatai. Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. Jai Tulsi Rani. So, the prabhava of the Supreme Lord is so sweet. And another aspect of it is that in any relationship you're on, your heart, you cherish the Supreme Personality of God, it reciprocates. And he's going to practically remind you on a daily basis of the prabhava, of the power of that relationship. And you're going, that's, my prabhu was so nice. My Lord is so nice. You know, right? My friend is so nice because of this. This is why he's so nice, you know. And it will attract your heart and charm your heart in most amazing, sweet ways. So that is really the nice thing. But those, Prahlad Maharaj says that when Nrisingadev wanted to offer Prahlad a benediction, he says, look, I'm not a baniya, I'm not a businessman. You are my Lord, and I'm your servant. And there's nothing else we need to know, you know, like that. There's no other relationship that is needed. So for those that worship Nrisingadev as servant, Dasi Bhava, then his Prabhava awakens that Dasi Bhava, awakens that service mood. The wonder, the power, the majesty of the Lord. So because of that, therefore you'll find shlokas like this to astonish the devotee. Ah, my master is so nice, so sweet, so powerful, you know? And the heart swells up with pride that I am the servant of such a wonderful master, like that. And you become captivated. So these shlokas are part of the mood of the Bhagavatam to capture the heart. And any avatar of the Supreme Lord has glories like that that attract the heart in such nice ways, like this. So it's good. Either any relationship, the Supreme Lord will use it to attract it. It's astonishing in Vraj that if Krishna has to do some prabhava, some power, like swallowing the forest flower, he's going to do it in such a way it's not going to diminish the main thing. The friendship that the boys have, it's not going to get in the way. In Vaikuntha, the prabhava is the main thing, and the mudur, the sweetness, is secondary. Because of the prabhava. Because of the prabhava, the sweetness is there. But in Braj, the sweetness eclipses the prabhava. The Lord's sweetness is so sweet, and he's so capturing, his sweetness is so capturing, that it overwhelms the power. The power is like in the background. Not as significant as the sweetness. The sweetness is the main thing. The sweetness is the main thing. And the sweetness makes the relationship interesting. There are 2.5, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes 2.5 relationships with the Lord that he manifests in Goloka, which is not manifested in Vaikuntha. It's described that friendship, paternity, familial friendship, it's called Vatsalya, and Madhurya, these 2.5 relationships are not seen in Vaikuntha. They're only in Goloka. And the other ones, the other manifest, you have Shantaras and you have Gauravadasya and you have Gauravasakya, like Arjuna's god for Krishna. That's in the Vaikuntha or in the heavenly planets in the material world. But the other 2.5 you won't have. This is what it captures the mind of the devotee is where your relationship is. It was described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita that whenever Gopal Kumara traveled to different places, the inhabitants of those places, Ayodhya, Dwaraka, like that, the inhabitants would say, "Yeah, we're happy here. Stay here with us and serve our Lord here." Like that, they would welcome him. But in his heart, he wanted something else. He was not happy. He wanted something else. The funny one was when he's in Vaikuntha and he sees the sweet smile of Lord Narayana. And he says, "Gopal, Gopal, it's me." You know, and the Dwarapalakas go, "Who is this guy?" And they grab him, you know. And they grab him. He's causing a disturbance here, you know, disturbing the mood. And then they usher him, and he's looking, "Whoa, whoa," and they just grab him and they take him outside. And Narada Muni goes, "You can release him to me. I know who this fellow is. Don't let him make a disturbance." And the Dwarapalakas went away. And then Narada Muni says, "You're not in the right place. You have to go further." And he tells him how to go further up to Goloka, toward Goloka. And Narayan is just chuckling to himself about the whole thing. And Lakshmi Devi goes, "Prabhu, who is that?" You know? And Narayan is chuckling, you know, just laughing at the whole thing. He enjoyed it, you know. He thought, "This is funny," you know. Narayan thought, "This is funny," you know. And Lakshmi Devi goes, "Who's that guy?" You know. And Gopal just had to go, and Gopal Kumar, he had to go further. He had to go on and further. He was in the wrong place. "Gopal, Gopal, it's me." It's a funny thing, you know. He was in the wrong place. He was just on his way, and he was just a stopover on his way. And Narayana just laughed at the whole thing, you know. So It's interesting. Krishna knows everything about each and every devotee and their heart. And Krishna tries to satisfy that. And that is really the most charming thing. I was discussing this with one of the teachers of the Govardhan Sanskrit school. He invited me over for lunch one day. And so he's talking about the shloka, third canto, chapter 9, verse 11. Very famous. Tuma bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja ase shutekshata pata nanunata pungsam yada yada diya ta urugaya vibhavayanti tad tad vipu pranayase sananukrahaya. The translation that Prabhupada gives in Adi Leela chapter 3 verse 111 is sweeter and better than the translation he gave in third canto chapter 9 verse 11. However, the purport is better in the Bhagavatam than the one in the CC. So, my dear Lord, you manifest yourself. When those who engage in devotional service, intense devotional service, you sit on their lotus hearts, are those that are engaging in the path of hearing about you. And you do it all the time. To all devotees, nananata pungsam. You do it all the time to all the devotees. Company policy, you know, he does it all the time. Whatever those devotees think, yada yada diya, O glorified Lord, tarugaya vibhavayanti, in their heart. Tat tat vibhu pranayase, exactly you manifest that form that they're hankering for. Saranugrahaya, out of your causeless mercy. So, Matsyavatar was telling me that there are two tikkas. If you take verse one is Bhavartha Dipika, you take Sridhar Swami's commentary, and you take Vishwanath's commentary. It's very sweet, his Sarartha Darshani commentary. There are three aspects that are glorified here. One is that Krishna is manifested by his mahima, by his instructions, by his prabhava, like that. And devotees are hearing and chanting about Krishna, his instructions, his statements, and they see Krishna in that way. That's how they perceive Krishna, through his statements, Gita, Bhagavatam, like that. Those very same things you're hearing and chant about when you're in trouble, he's going to come and help you by the power of those very same instructions. That's Isha Sangha. That's association with Krishna. Okay? That's one. Two, sometimes that's not enough. The rupa, the Lord, there's a specific Ishta Devata. The devotee accepts the Lord as his worshipable Lord, Ishta Devata, and there's a form of the Lord that their mind is attracted to. So Krishna manifests himself as that form. It's basically he wants to be effective. As Paramatma, he wants to be effective. So he'll come to you in that form to shake your world. Exactly. And that as your Lord. And when he comes, you listen, you know. So that's one. The second thing is Rupa. He'll manifest himself as his instructions. And like that, and part of the instruction is the mahima, prabhava. That's one manifestation. The other manifestation is rupa, the form of the Lord, to shake your world, to impress you, who you must listen to. Other people, other things, they maybe, if it's impressive enough. But when your Ishtadev comes in your heart, you're shaken. Your consciousness is grabbed, you know. You immediately listen. The third one is, Vishwanath says that you, Krishna knows what relationship with him that you cherish in your heart, and he tries to help you to achieve that. That is the most charming of all three. That he knows what relationship with him you hanker, and he helps you get it. That is really the most charming of all three, you know. He's so sweet and so sensitive that he helps you achieve it. So nice. In this way, Krishna helps his devotee achieve him. Not only does he impress the devotee by his prabhava, by his power, not only does he impress the devotee by his shiksha, his instructions that are, and his sound vibration, which is non-different from him. Hmm? Not only impresses the devotee in his rupa, his form, which the devotee worships and cherishes. Not only that, but he understands what you want and he helps you achieve it. It's background. This is background stuff. Tulsi Rani does the same thing. Bhagavatam describes, first canto, chapter 2, verse number 18, go through like 23, that you go from the mode of ignorance to the mode of passion, from the mode of passion to the mode of goodness, from the mode of goodness to Vishuddha Sattva. And at Vishuddha Sattva, then you can understand about Bhagavan, about Krishna, and you become happy. Like that. And you get realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and go on the path of liberation. That's the shlokas, okay? So Tulsi Rani does the exact same thing. She grabs you. Huh? Become better. From the mode of ignorance to the mode of passion. From the mode of... Then, that's not... Passion is not good. You have to purify that. You go to the mode of goodness. That's not sufficient. You have to make it pure now. Purify it. It has to be Vishuddha Sattva. Then she reminds you, you wanted this relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? Take it. It was a strategy all along just to purify you, to help you, to bring you up. Now take what you want, you know? Right. Bhakti Chaitanya Karani, the cause of devotional mood. Sarvaso Bhagyavardhani, anyone's good fortune is increased. That's part of her prabhava. That's part of her potency, you know? And Adi Vyadi Haro Nityam, she destroys at every moment your original disease, which is basically Bhava Roga, your forgetfulness of Krishna. Roga Haratva, that some disease will be stolen. This is a Taptasta. It's a subordinate aspect of her. Not important, but it's there. Hmm? Then Sarupa Lakshana is mentioned there, that this Adi Vyadi, the original disease, basically your Bhava Roga, your causes and willingness to serve Krishna, that she's destroying. She's making you become a better devotee at every step, you know? That she destroys. By and by, any other small little obstacle, some disease, some problem, we'll destroy that too, no? Just like, we are approaching her to get Krishna. We want love for Krishna. And by, you know, if she takes care of our health and takes care of our wealth, then we'll take some of that too, no problem, you know. We'll take that too. We'll take that too. We got no problem with that, you know. I mean, we're not asking for it, you know. But, you know, if it comes by itself, then, you know, yad rich cha labha shushanto, something comes without asking for it, then no problem, no. Not that we're demanding it, though. We're not bothering her for it. But if she happens to want to give it, well, then no problem. No, we'll take that too. There's a verse quoted in Hari Bhakti Balas. I think it's 9.101. Yasho dehi dan dehi kirtamayush tata sukha balam pushtam tata dharma tolosi tvama prasida me. It says, Yasha Dehi, please give me fame. Dan dehi, money. Kirtim, effulgence. Ayush, duration of life. Tata sukha, and happiness. Balam, strength. Pushtim, nourishment. Tata dharamam, and religiosity. Tulsi tvam prasida me. O Tulsi, if you're pleased with me. So when I read the shloka, I think the first thing is, huh, this must mean only the spiritual qualities of a Vaishnava. You're not going to ask a mundane benediction. Your devotee is asking for only spiritual things. But then you realize that, wait a minute, not all devotees are created equal. Not all devotees approach the Supreme Lord or his consort with the same motivation. Sometimes you want something. Sometimes you need something. So she can give that. If she sees that that is necessary, she can award that. And Pundarik glorifies that in his stotram, that sampat pradayake, she gives wealth. She gives opulence like that. And sarva sampat pradayake, that she gives all wealth. all opulence. Those that serve her understand that she can give anything. She can give anything if she's pleased. Whatever she wants to give, she can give if she's pleased. That's what devotees know. Therefore, we serve her. We serve her for that. Whatever she likes. She knows everything. The devotees were asking me once, is it Vishnu Bhakti or Krishna Bhakti? You know, I said, come on. You don't think she doesn't know? I'm talking about my Narayana, my Ramchandra, my Gornatai, my Radha Krishna, my Shalagram. She knows exactly who you're talking about. The shloka from Hari Bhaktivala says Vishnu Bhakti, Prade Devi. That's the mool shloka. But she's smart. She knows who you're talking about, no? She knows exactly who you're talking about. So don't worry about her, you know. When the devotees ask the question, he goes, you don't understand about her. You know, she understands everything. She's sarvagya. She knows everything. She knows she's within everyone's heart. Purushottama valabe, you know. That's what Pundarik says. Nama tulosi sarvagye purushottama valabe pahimam sarva papebhya sarva sampat pradayake. She knows everything. She's the lover of the highest person. Please protect me from all sins. There's nothing you cannot award your servant. One thing, I haven't found anything better than those 15 shlokas. They're extremely powerful. But one thing I did get a vijnana, a realization out of it. No Sanskrit kavi is going to write anything that's not in the Puranas. So reverse engineering means I have to go back and find out some shlokas in the Puranas that might have inspired the Acharya to write thus. That's what study means. Just like, for example, sometimes devotees read Krishna book and they match it with the 10th canto shlokas to try to understand where did Prabhupada's purport leave off? You know, where the shloka leaves off and where the purport starts. They just try to understand it. It's reverse engineering. They're comparing it. They're reverse engineering to try to understand, you know, where the mool shloka leaves off and where the purport starts, you know. Because in Krishna books, it's all, you know, homogenous. It's a little difficult to see what's going on sometimes, you know. So I understood that. Reverse engineering is going to be the main thing. Hagiography, I may never find out about that sadhu. Who was he? In Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya, when did he appear? The name is very common. I barely found out that he was a Sri. It took me a while. I finally got the confirmation that he was a Sri Vaishnava. Who was he? When did he appear? Hagiography, about that sadhu, I may never know. One thing I should know is that whatever he glorified, it comes from the Puranas. So I better go back and find that. That will really be glorification of it. That will help the instruction go in the heart much more further when you get the pramanams about each and every point he made, you know. We'll stop here. Natives are getting restless, you know. Questions, comments?